until just this last few minutes, I've been wrestling with what I'm supposed to preach this afternoon. And I had some messages with me. I thought, yeah, I think that's it's that. But I just wrestled back and forth with it. And I believe we're going to be looking at this this thought here, starting in 2 Samuel 7. And I'm just going to read, starting in at the beginning of the chapter, we'll read down through verse 11, and I'm just going to get a little bit of text, we'll go to a couple other places, and then I'll get into the message here this afternoon. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places whither I walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Especially stood out to me here where it says in verse 8, the Lord said to Nathan to tell David, I took thee from the sheepcote. And so and that God told David that he was going to build David a house. Look over at the book of Amos. You don't go there too often, but Amos, one of the minor prophets there toward the end of the Old Testament. Amos chapter 7. And Amos just giving his testimony here a little bit in verse 14. He says, well, I'll give you a minute to find your place there. Amos chapter 7. This is Amos kind of telling about his background. Amos chapter 7 and verse 14. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people, Israel. Again, we see that Amos says the Lord took him. Now I'll go to the New Testament, John, the Gospel of John. We're going to look at a familiar passage there as well. John and chapter 13. John 13, I'm going to start in verse 36, and then we'll read just a little bit of chapter 14 as well. But John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So the thought here this afternoon, just for a few minutes, is this thought on a place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. I'm going to go and to the Lord in prayer again, and then we'll get into this. Father, I thank you for your love to us. I do thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to open your word. I thank you that you have a purpose and a plan for each of our lives. Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you would bind the enemy. And this time, I pray that you'd minister to your people, that you would encourage them, that you'd encourage me, that you'd give clarity. Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross. And Lord, that you would bind the enemy. Lord, that your word would go out with clarity here this afternoon and be a help to your people. And Lord, that you'd strengthen us through it. And we ask these things in the authority of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So we see several passages here in 2 Samuel we looked at where Nathan talked to David and said, oh, you know, you want to build God a temple? Let's go ahead and do that. And then that night, God had to come to Nathan and tell him, I didn't ask him to do that. And I'm going to build David a house. He's not going to build me a house. And Amos, we see that Amos says, I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't the son of a prophet. But the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So God took Amos, God took David, and God used them to do something that would last beyond, far beyond their lifetimes, to do a work that would last eternally, that was an eternal work. Their lives are recorded for us in the Word of God, and we see many great things from the lives of these men, how God used them mightily. And then in the book of John, we see Simon Peter coming to talk to Jesus and saying, you know, Lord, wherever you're going, I'm going to go with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to lay down my life for you, Jesus. And then Jesus says to him, will you lay down your life for me, Peter? Will you really? Will you? He said, the cock won't crow, but you're going to deny me thrice. And then the following chapter starts this precious passage of scripture that we read often at funerals, that we often read for personal encouragement for many reasons. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. That is that Jesus came here to do a work for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That was why he came. He came to save his people from their sins. But also he came to give us a place to look forward to beyond this life.
Yeah.
But the thought that the Lord impressed on my heart and that I've just really been meditating on here for the last while is that not only did he provide us a place to look forward to after this life, but he provided us a place, Pastor Hayne, in this life for service.
Amen.
To be a part of the work of God here and now.
Amen.
The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly lust and ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God teaches us to live godly in this present world. He gives us a space for grace in this world to be able to live, to be able to serve him, and to be able to love him, to be able to do something that's going to last beyond our own lifetimes. And I am thankful that he gives us such a place. I enjoy going by creeks or lakes and throwing stones. Nate and I went down that creek a few weeks ago with Taryn and finding all kinds of interesting little creatures and skipping stones. And it's a good time just to hear the water running and to be there by the water. But a lot of times, I personally will have been have thought about when I'm throwing those rocks, I see those little ripples, I think about, there's my life, you know, it's a little vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. Just like that little ripple, right? Just like that little ripple. And sometimes when I'm going through a hard time, or sometimes when the Lord's dealing with me with something important, sometimes I'll go and I'll toss rocks and I'll just remember how brief my life is. But it's important. This little vapor of a life has a meaning.
Amen.
You didn't get created randomly.
Right.
You're not just another person. There's a reason you're here. There's a place for you in the work of God here. An important place as part of the body of Christ.
Right.
God has a place for you. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." You know why? Because if it weren't that he had many mansions, there wouldn't be space for me.
Amen.
But there is space for me. There's space for each one of us. Because in his Father's house, there's many mansions. In other words, he has a place for you personally. And he wants to spend time with you personally. And notice this also in this passage in John 14. He says, "If I go and," this is verse 3, "if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Amen. So he wants to be with us. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I know sometimes as a dad, the kids will crawl at me when I'm trying to do a job or something like that. It's fun, okay? But sometimes, even a dad, sometimes you feel like, I need a little bit of personal space sometimes, right? But he says, "I want you to come. I want you to be right in my personal space." He wants us to be there. That's good. One of the things that I've wrestled with work, we've been working on this house over in Allegheny, and it's taken longer than I hoped it would, of course. We've made good progress on it, and I'm thankful. I believe that I definitely believe that the Lord gave us that opportunity. It was a blessing financially for us to be able to get that place, and we put some work into it. Our vision has been that we could be able to have a house and be able to focus on ministry. And so we've used this house as an investment when we've had time to work on it, to be able to resell it. For, I don't know that everybody understands where we're coming from, why we're doing that. That is what I'm personally impressed to do right now in our lives. We have 9 children, and it seems to me that is the responsible thing for me to do, that we can own a home. And who knows what the economy is going to do in the future. If we can own a home and not have a mortgage and have a little bit of stability that way, I believe that would be a good thing. And I definitely believe the Lord has been opening a lot of doors for us to be able to do what we've been doing. But it is a little frustrating because I really have a burden to do ministry, to preach the word, to go out, to help churches, to do ministry. And it's a little bit frustrating for me spending week after week after week at the house, working on the house. And I'm like, why am I working on a house when I should be out doing ministry? I thought this was going to be a month or a couple of months, or, you know, that now it's been 4 or 5 months. It's been a good thing for us financially, but it's been longer than I thought it would be. And I'm thankful for what we've been able to get done, but it's complicated. It's a lot of time. And as I've been working on this, I've been thinking about, is there anything that I'm supposed to learn from this whole experience of being out of the ministry, essentially? I'm preaching this morning. I've preached many other Sundays and Wednesdays in different churches and continue to do ministry, but I'd like to be working on church buildings. I'd like to be doing ministry all week long, not working at the house. But is there something that I'm supposed to learn in this phase of my life that's important for me to digest as a person? That's important maybe for me to preach about, for others to be able to benefit from. And here's the thought that really impressed me as I reflected on this, and I really do believe that God is teaching me this thought, is that a house is really, really expensive. A lot more expensive than food or clothes or a lot of other things. It's really, really expensive. It costs a lot of money. It's very expensive even if you rent. Just from month to month, it's very expensive. A house is not a small decision. If you're buying a house, it's going to take years and years, sometimes a whole lifetime to buy a house. Mm-hmm. So what's the point? The point is this. The place that God has given you to serve is a very, very valuable and very precious thing. Amen. Not to be taken lightly. Something that I think we all need to come to terms with in our walk with the Lord is that you're not going to be a blessing everywhere you go. My Leanna puts up with a lot in the ministry, and I'm very thankful for her. God put her in my life. One of the things that frustrates her, and it frustrates me too, but when we go somewhere to help and we feel like kind of awkward, like, I don't think anybody wants us to be here. And it happens sometimes. And it's an awkward thing. And you can't be a blessing everywhere you go. You can't be a blessing everywhere you go. It takes God's leading to put you in a place where you can make a difference, an actual difference. I think about one day we were coming home. We had a bus route up in Michigan. We'd go in and reach out to the community to bring kids out to church so they could hear the scriptures and things at church. And the one day on our way home, the bus was going up a hill and just kind of stopped, just came to an idle and wouldn't come up over the hill. And so I go up to the bus driver and said, it was Rob Nesbitt, was the bus driver. I said, what's going on? He said, it won't go. He's pushing the accelerator. It's not doing anything. He said, what? So I said, well, let's open the hood and see what's going on. So he opens the hood and he hits the accelerator. And I see a piece under the hood moving when he's hitting the accelerator. And I could see a little link next to it that was broken that apparently connected it to something else nearby, just like an inch or two away. So I pulled on the other thing. I don't know much about cars, but I said, well, let's see if I pull on this, if it does something. And the bus, oh, yeah. Okay. It was in neutral, so it's okay. So I said, what we need to do is we need to connect this to this, and I think we're going to be okay. So I said, well, so what do you need? I said, just a little piece of wire or something. He said, well, I got a paperclip. So I said, well, I think that'll work. So we get under there, we take that paperclip, wrap it around the one and the other, and he hits the accelerator, and it revs right up. I said, that'll work. So we shut the hood, took the kids home, went back to the church. That little paperclip took the whole crew back to the church. Amen. Because the linkage was broken there somewhere.
Good.
You know what I can aspire to be in my life? The greatest aspiration I can be is be like that paperclip.
Yes, that's right.
That's come on.
You're not much more than that.
Yeah. Come on, that's good.
You go ahead and spin your wheels.
Yeah.
You go ahead and work night and day. You go ahead and do what you think you can do to try to make a difference in your life. And it'll come and go, and it'll be a vapor, and it'll be gone.
Yeah.
But if God places you, it won't be gone.
Oh, right.
He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Uh-huh. Every individual is important in the work of God.
Amen.
You are important. You ever go into a hoarder's house? You might say I are one. Now, I've been in hoarder's house. I've been guilty sometimes. But sometimes people just want to save everything. You got newspapers from decades ago and things. And it's just a pile of all kinds of stuff. It's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I like? I like going to the dump. Well, we demo a room, take all the drywall and stuff out, and throw it inside the van, and the kids say, can I come? Dump? Me? Dump? Dad? Me? That's what Elijah says every time. The one day I had five of them with me, and Leah says, man, you got most of them with you. I said, well, hey, why don't we go to the dump? We went to the dump, and I got rid of the trash, but I brought all the kids back. They love going to the dump, and me too. It's great. Leanna's like, I love it. We just get rid of the trash. Sometimes we have old trash that, you know, starts smelling, whatever. We get rid of it. It's great. But Jesus gave us this promise. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is an eternal place, that where I am, there you may be also. He wants you to be in his presence. He doesn't use my life for a few years and go, yeah, well, you're kind of burnt out. You know, step aside here. We'll get someone else in there. You know, no. He loves us with an unending, everlasting love. And he has a place for us in that work. Oh, there's so many examples of this. When we're not in the place that we're supposed to be, It is a liability, not a help.
Yeah.
Think about all those men that were on the ship with Jonah when he was fleeing to Tarshish. It wasn't going to get there. Why? Because Jonah was out of place, and he was affecting the lives of other people around him. And they went through that storm because Jonah wasn't in the place that he was supposed to be. We become like a loose bolt under the hood when we're not in the place that we're supposed to be. Who knows what kind of damage that thing can do. We need to be in the place that God has for us to be. No two people on earth are the same, yet God has a place for each one of us, and that is an amazing, amazing thing. So, two thoughts here. First, God has room for you. There's room for us in His work. When I was in Pennsylvania, there was another preacher there, Tim Davenport. He's the director at Mount Salem, and we started into ministry full-time the same year. Actually, it was kind of funny because the first place that we visited when we were on the road was Sellersburg, Indiana, and he was the assistant pastor there at the time. And he took us out to a Mexican restaurant. We sat down. We started talking about ministry. He said, "So how long have you been in ministry?" Leanna and I looked at each other and said, today. It was literally the first day. And he's like, "You know, I'm thinking about going into evangelism too." And sure enough, a few months later, I think it was in October of that year, he went into full time. And they also have 9 kids. And so him and I were talking the one day out in front of the in the parking lot. And he said, "You know, if we have a 10th child, I don't know where I'm going to put them because we have all our luggage in that back. In that back seat." I said, "Well, I have all my tools in the back." I said, I don't know where we're gonna put a tenth either. I don't know. But there's room for you. There's room for you. There's room for you in the work of God. He doesn't say, "Oh, it's too crowded. You're not gonna be able to have a part in this." No, there's room for you. I'm thankful for that. And then the second thought, and I've already mentioned this, but God plans to keep you for the long haul. I think about the kids growing up. I mean, they're getting bigger and bigger. Abigail's wearing her mom's shoes and clothes. And as they get bigger, there's less and less room, right? But God plans to keep us for the long haul. God plans to have us as a part of His work for the whole way. Think about this. One of the greatest duties that we have in this life is good stewardship of the place that God has provided for us. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." What did God do with man? He put him in the Garden of Eden. He built this, he created this whole garden, and he placed man in that garden to dress it and keep it. One of the greatest responsibilities, one of the greatest duties and privileges that we have in this life is to be a steward of the place that God's provided for us. Look at John 9. John 9. We're just going to look at some scriptures here and I'll wrap it up. John 9. John chapter 9. Look at, this is the blind man was healed, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Right there it is. Pastor Hain was, or was it Pastor asked, you're saying, they thought he was going to be one way or the other, right? Nope. This way or that way? Nope. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Notice what Jesus said. He was born blind. So for all these years of his life, he was born blind for all these years of his life. He didn't know why he was born blind, but there was a reason for it his whole life. Jesus knew there was a reason for it his whole life. Jesus knew that. And so all these years, while he's experiencing the struggles that he would have as a blind man, not realizing that God had a purpose and a plan for it from day one. It's an awesome thing. He says that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He was born blind with a reason. And so here's a little bit of a thought from this is that you have things unique to you. Some of those things that you may look at it as a disability or as something that's peculiar about your life or your situation or your background. God has a reason for all the things in your life to show his glory. That the works of God can be made manifest in your life. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I'm going to skip down to verse 28. So after this blind man is healed, now he's in the temple, and the rulers there are kind of interrogating him and saying, you know, trying to discredit basically what Jesus had done, but they reviled him. These rulers were not happy with the blind man who had been healed. They reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto him, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." And I would say the same thing about each of us is a powerful statement that this blind man that was healed said. He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Same thing for me, same thing for you this afternoon. But God gives us a place. Notice this, verse 34. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us?" Well, he was teaching them. God was using his life to teach those people there in the temple. And they cast him out. How's that? He was in the temple. He had a place. And they cast him out. Notice that they cast him out. No place for him, right? Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Here's the thought. He's basically telling Jesus, "I'm ready to believe. Just point me in the direction. Because I know God's been at work in my life. I'm ready to believe." When he healed that blind man and he saw the hypocrisy of the rulers there in the temple, when he experienced some of these things, God had been working in his life to bring him to the point to where he could believe. And he's basically telling Jesus, "I'm ready. Just point me in the direction. Tell me who he is." And then Jesus said, I might have lost my spot there, but... he answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" This is verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Isn't that good? See, there's a place for this blind man. God was doing a work in his life. When he was cast to the temple, there was a place for him to be healed, to be saved. Can I tell you, there is a place for you to be able to receive the grace of God and to be saved and to know it.
Amen.
Seek and ye shall find. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus. Seek and ye shall find. There is a place for you to find grace, to find healing, to find salvation, and to know it. And to be able to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, to worship God.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth. And know him who has sought you. Who has given his life for you, that you can know him and to be saved and to receive that gift.
Amen.
There's a place for that. Luke chapter 2. Came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. So in other words, Joseph was going to his own city here in Luke chapter 2. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine what Joseph must have been thinking, knowing that he's going to call this baby Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins, and he's going to be called. Also, the angel told Joseph his name will be Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as God with us. And then the time comes to give birth. His wife is at that point, and he comes back to his own city, where he should have had friends and family that would receive him. And there's no place for him, not any place, but the stable. And he goes out to the stable, and he gives birth in the stable and lays down his baby in the feeding trough for the animals. No place. No place. Imagine what would have taken place in Joseph's mind as he wrestled with this. This child is anointed. He's the very Messiah, and we have no place. But that was the place.
Amen.
Amen. That was the place.
Yes.
That was prophesied. That was ordained. That was precious.
Amen.
And I can celebrate the Savior being laid in the manger, knowing that he came to give his life for my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a Savior that he would do that for us.
Yeah.
It was the place. There was no room for them in the inn. But, verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. This, notice verse 12, this shall be a sign unto you. This is, in other words, this is very important now, right? And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They'd spent some time in the manger, around the manger, I should say. And I think Pastor had made mention that probably they were out of town, out in the fields, because they were renting out the stable. They could do it. They'd spent some time there. This was going to be a sign to them. This was special. This was important. That place was not a mistake. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. That was special. That was ordained of God, that place. And it meant something very special to those shepherds who were able to witness it there. Luke. Luke 22. I'm just kind of picking my passages here because I know I don't have time to go through all of them. Luke chapter 22. Notice this. Pastor Hain, I think, made reference to this morning. Luke 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed, and he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So the disciples say, well, we need to celebrate the Passover. Where are we going to do that? He says, go ahead and go to the city, find a towel, a pitcher of water, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and basically tell him where's the guest chamber where the master's gonna have the Passover, and he'll show you the large upper room, all furnished, all ready. Well, that was convenient. Isn't that convenient?
Yes, sir.
They just happen to have a guest room there, all furnished and set up, so they could have their Passover there. But then later, when they started sharing that Passover together, Jesus revealed something to his disciples. He said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. That was not a coincidence. God had been preparing the heart of that man so that there would be a place for them to go and to share that Passover together. I've got a lot more here, and I think that's where we can finish up here this afternoon. God has a place prepared for you for service. He has a place prepared for you so that you can know him as your Savior. You seek and you will find.
Brother, will you be here on the 16th?
I don't. 16th of, yeah. We're not.
We'll finish at 1 o'clock on the 16th.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. Well, I'll go ahead and close in prayer here. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the privilege it is to be able to open your word together. I thank you for Pastor Asquith and Pastor Hain and the church here and the example that we have to see. Lord, thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have the place for us to be involved in your work. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in our lives, Lord.